So this was John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. How does seeing it illustrated make you feel? It really makes it more raw, doesn't it, and real than I think just reading the words can do. There was so much emotion in what happened, and it's hard to capture that just in the reading. But I thought they did a great job capturing how Jesus was really feeling. Are you surprised to see how Jesus reacted to the money changers and those selling the animals for sacrifice? It was surprising to see how really angry and how rough, actually, that he was. Jesus was clearly very angry and deeply upset about the oppression of the poor, especially within the bounds of the Holy Temple. But there was another message here too. And this passage ends with Jesus challenging the Jewish leaders to understand that he is the presence of God. He is the new and improved Holy Temple of the Lord. Now, but as Jesus is saying these things, he knows they won't completely understand until he is resurrected, if even then they finally understand who he is. But in this cleansing of the temple, as it's often called, Jesus is shaking up the world as they know it. He is showing his power and protesting against not only the abusive Roman government, which he has often protested about, but now he's focusing on the way the Jewish leaders in the temple have become greedy and power hungry and seem to have lost their sense of how sacred the Holy Temple is meant to be. In this passage from John, Jesus reacts to the way they are treating the temple as if it's a marketplace rather than a holy place. So he decides to reveal that he himself is the holy temple of God, and when they destroy him, he will be built back up in 3 days. Now, in the synoptic gospels, and that means those that are in sync with each other, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have a different emphasis when they describe this story. In the cleansing of the temple stories in the synoptic gospels, the focus is on Christ's reaction to the corruption among the merchants in the temple. He's angry about the way people are being cheated out of their hard-earned money, and they are told the temple will not accept their offerings and sacrifices unless they change their Roman money into shekels. And the only animals that they're allowed to sacrifice in the temple are the animals that they purchase there on holy temple grounds. Now, the merchants are being oppressive and corrupt by doing this, especially oppressive of the poor people who probably have walked many days to come and worship at this special temple and to offer their sacrifices that they can gather together to offer in the temple. If they can't afford the exchange rate for the price of the animals, they must leave feeling unforgiven by God. Imagine now if we required you to visit a money changer at our doors, and you had to come in and exchange your dollars into special Church of the Roses money when you came in the door. How would you feel about that? That would be your only way to present your offerings to God here if we did the same as they were doing then. The people of that time thought they had no choice, and giving their offering and sacrifices to God was a very important ritual to complete in those days in their Jewish faith tradition. For example, according to Leviticus 12, 6 to 8, after an Israelite woman had given birth, she was to bring a sacrifice to the temple, preferably a sheep. But if she was poor, she could take 2 doves or 2 pigeons for the sacrifice. Since the birds were much less expensive, she could use 1 for a burnt offering and 1 for a sin offering. And in the early days, they would let people bring in whatever they could find, you know, whatever birds they could capture. But then the Jewish leaders in the temple changed it and said only the animals within the temple grounds that they purchased there could be offered as a sacrifice. So they changed up the way of doing these things because of greed. The market for birds rose so much, too, that even the poor women of the community could not afford them. So Jesus was here protesting things like the injustice towards poor women when he turned over those tables. Have you ever been so upset about the ways of the authorities or the ways of the ruling powers in our country that you wanted to turn the tables on them? Maybe during the Vietnam era, for instance, in the 60s, did any of you participate in the protests against Vietnam? I know when I was coming to the University of Iowa, I was later, after Vietnam, but one of the stories they told was at the University of Iowa, the students rolled huge cement pipes. They were like pipes that they were going to put in, I think, for culverts, you know, to help with the water flow. They'd found some at a construction site, and they were rolling them down the streets, down the hills to protest. That was such a dangerous thing to do. And this was in Iowa that they were they were doing that. And I know in the 60s, during the civil rights movement, you know, there were so many protests, too, about segregation. Our country has a history of having to turn the tables on the government in important issues, in important periods of time, and especially, I think, when we felt oppression and corruption and just moral wrong was happening. In a blog titled Philosophy Behind Bars, the author of this blog reviews the moral philosophy and ethical conduct in the book entitled Ethics by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I know I've quoted him before, but he's the famous German pastor and theologian who stood up to Hitler when the Jews were being persecuted and oppressed. He lived only 40 short years, but pastors and so many people who want to learn how do you deal with oppression and corruption, he still leads by his example today through his writings and through what people remember about how he protested Hitler. He said that when faced with a moral dilemma, one must ask one simple question: what would Jesus do? So those WWJD bracelets were essentially inspired by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer states that the premise of ethical behavior is based on how the reality of our world and the reality of God are reconciled in the reality of Christ. When we live within the reality of Christ, he says, it is to live as a responsible person. And he meant feeling responsible not just for ourselves, but for others. Bonhoeffer states that there are only two guidelines to determining the will of God in any situation. The first, consider the need of one's neighbor. And then second, follow the model of Jesus Christ. If one is able to manifest these two guidelines, then one is capable of experiencing the reality of Christ, which in turn results in living a responsible life, he said. To live an ethical and responsible life, one must strive to be a selfless person and imitate the model set by Jesus of Nazareth. A selfless person who is morally responsible does not hesitate out of fear or shelter themselves from getting embroiled in conflict. Now, Bonhoeffer deeply believed that failing to act when injustice is being done condones evil. And he believes in the existence of inherent good within each person, that God is good and all of creation begins life as good. Tapping into one's inherent good in your soul is the key to living a moral life because, he said, it encourages humans to live selflessly. Now, imagine a universe where all of its inhabitants were always focused on demonstrating the inherent good that each one of us carries around with us. There would be no sin. There would be no crime. There would be no injustice. Overall, the world would be a much more industrious and peaceful place. But sadly, the peaceful kingdom of God is not complete yet. Sin, crime, and injustice all are widespread. Inherent good does combat all forms of sin when we put others before ourselves. So Jesus provides the perfect model for how to selflessly live our lives. During this Lenten season of repentance and confession, it is the perfect time to repent and confess that we are aware of injustices existing at this very moment in time, and we are sitting back and not doing much about them. Lent is the season to be authentic about the lack of genuine effort we put towards combating the injustices around us. We might do a little something like donate food for the hungry or give a little money to the poor, but often each one of us don't persist in opposing these injustices beyond what is easy and comfortable. Yet Jesus calls us to get this angry, to take risks, to give till it hurts, to stand up beside those being discriminated against, even if you end up getting hit by discrimination too, to use our power to advocate for the vulnerable, and to shout out injustice when it might not be the popular thing to do at that time, but it is the ethical way to be. Ashley Judd was the first celebrity to turn the tables on Harvey Weinstein for sexually abusing women in Hollywood. This kicked off the Time's Up movement of finally telling the truth about abuse happening in Hollywood. She said on NPR last week that the power to speak out came from finally wanting to do the right thing for that little girl inside her that did not receive justice ever since the first time she was molested at age 7. At that time, she told 2 adults about the molestation, but they just dismissed her report as a misinterpretation of what the nice old man must have done to her. She said to not report what Weinstein did to her would have caused a loss of her integrity, and she does not care what reporting him costs now to her career, because to report the abuse is the right, honest, and good thing to do, she said. She tapped into her inherent good and made an ethical decision that then inspired others to do the same. Dietrich Bonhoeffer gave other clergy the courage to oppose Hitler and start what they called the Confessing Church. It arose in opposition to the efforts to unify all Protestant churches into a single pro-Nazi church in World War II Germany. Jesus didn't just turn over one table. He turned over many tables and set free the animals to be sacrificed. He shouted at the top of his lungs how they were turning the temple into a den of thieves, is the way one interpretation of the scripture says. If more people followed Christ's example and acted against injustice with energy and persistence, the amount of evil existing in this world would dwindle drastically. You can do something to oppose injustice, and that something does not insist that you physically have to turn over tables. Each of us, for example, can help provide earth justice by cleaning up the oceans. And I found a new way to do this last week. There's a new organization called the letter four Ocean that was started by two young surfer guys. They were so tired of surfing and finding trash around them when they were surfing out in the ocean. They started this new organization and they gained a lot of money to have these boats now that go all around the ocean and clean up the ocean with these ocean cleaning boats that they have purchased. And with the purchase of bracelets that are made from recycled plastic that they pull out of the ocean, each bracelet that you purchase cleans a pound of trash out of the ocean with these cleaning boats. So I've decided this year for my friends that have birthdays, I'm going to give them each one of these bracelets that Four Ocean has developed and tell them how much trash has been cleaned up as a result of these bracelets. And to help refugee families, if you have a heart for refugee families, you can go to the Church World Service website, and they give you a plethora of ways that you can help refugee families that are either still over in Syria, because they go there and help the ones that have had to flee the fighting, but they also have brought some here or helped the ones that are in Greece and around the world. They are the best support for refugee families that I have found here and in other countries. You can also help rebuild affordable housing in Santa Rosa. You can volunteer with our Church and World Committee that Jonathan over here is the chair of, because we are hosting on April 28th Habitat for Humanity here, and we need some volunteers to help us when people come in and interview to be the families that are able to receive the homes that they are building. So April 28th, our church will be very busy and full of people coming in. It's a Saturday. To provide better gun safety, if that is something that appeals to you, send an email on the topic to the White House. I found out it's really easy to just go to whitehouse.gov, and they give you the phone number. You can call, and it probably will go to a message machine, but you can call, or you can send an email specifically, and they will respond. Let's all be brave enough to follow Christ's lead and start turning the tables where they need to be turned so that all of God's children can come closer to enjoying life, liberty, and justice as God intended from the very beginning. Amen.